today on Real Radio.
My wife told me a long time ago, she said, you know what, I don't really have a testimony because I accepted Jesus Christ. I was so young and I had my times of rebellion, but I've always known him and I don't have really much of a testimony. I said, yeah, you do. You have a testimony about God's faithfulness to keep you in his hands.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called My Life, God's Plan, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. A lot of years have gone by since Paul first began his missionary journeys. And you know, Paul was truly committed to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world. But now, Paul is ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Compromise or Just Being Wise from Acts chapter 21, verses 15 through 26, we learned that Paul has arrived in Jerusalem to discover that many of the Jewish believers there were still bound by religious law, legalism, and a works-based faith. So, Paul used his freedom in Christ to become a servant, that he might win them over to a faith-based relationship with Christ that's filled with grace. Many thought he was compromising his position, but Paul considered it a wise decision to show God's passion towards them. Now, continuing in chapter 21 at verse 27, we find Paul suddenly dealing with a life-and-death struggle as he's being attacked by a mob in the temple. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that a bad situation doesn't mean that God's not in it. The crowd, they wanted Paul to die, but it wasn't yet God's timing and gave Paul a chance to give testimony of his past and what God's will is for their future. And now, continuing his lesson called My Life, God's Plan, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now, this is Paul. He has been seeing great evangelistic ministries. He comes to his home. He loves Jerusalem, the people. Oh boy, he can't wait to share the gospel. Remember last week they told him, James says, you better watch it. They're going to find out you're in town. There are even those who believe but are very fond of the law. You better watch it. So Paul just goes in to complete the vow. He doesn't even get the opportunity to go through the rest of the offering. And some of these guys supposed that he had brought a Gentile into the area, defiling the temple area, Trophimus, an Ephesian. Now, Trophimus didn't go in. They assumed, they supposed that he was there. Hey, outside, they have found this sign, by the way, and it's in the Archaeological Museum in Jerusalem. They've got a sign there, and it says that anybody bringing a Gentile into this area will be killed on sight. They'll be destroyed. Paul knew that. He didn't bring Trophimus in there. I think they were just looking for a reason to kill this guy. They couldn't stand him. They're thinking about the past. Christian killer, Christian beater. And Paul, because the Christians were not willing to accept him all the way, he was really between a hard place and a rock because the Jews couldn't stand him because he was talking about grace. The Christians were afraid to death of him because he had killed a lot of Christians before he had come to Jesus. Paul was giving them the message that Christ had given him. And what was that message? Jot it down in your notes. You know it well, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. The gospel. What is the gospel? Listen, when we share Jesus, we better get to the point. And this is the point. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I declare to you the gospel which I received, which also you received, when in which you stand, by which also you're saved. And if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you've believed in vain, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I have also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Isn't that great? The Bible. You can pick your favorite religious history or favorite religious person in history, and none of them can boast that they came in accordance with any prophetic writings ever except Jesus Christ. Jesus came and died for our sins according to the Scripture, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And, verse 4, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, and by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 people at one time, of whom the greater part of them are still present today, but some have died. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then, lastly, of all who was seen by me, also as one who is born out of due time. Paul saw the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, on that road to Damascus. He was giving them the message that Jesus had given them to pass on. Martin Luther King stood up long ago and said, "I have a dream." Well, Paul the Apostle stands in Jerusalem and says, "I have grief. I want to share this news," and they're not going to listen. In Romans 9:2, the Bible says, "I have a great sorrow," Paul said, "continuing in my heart, it is grief. For I could wish that I myself were cut off from Christ for my brethren's sake, the Jews." What a passion this guy has. But look what it says. It says here that he spoke against the people. It's not exactly true. He spoke against the law, verse 28, and he spoke against this place. That's not true. He was simply teaching and preaching the truth. He didn't speak against the Jews. He said being a Jew is not necessarily going to save you. Your heritage, your background, listen, your family tree, your roots have nothing to do with eternal life. Some of us are very glad about that. He says that he spoke against the law. Your religious duties don't have anything to do with your position with God. But Jack, I gave $1 million. Big deal. What does that do? That doesn't do nothing. Gives you a great tax write-off. And the earthly side, if you know Jesus Christ, it's a beautiful gift to offer unto him in dedication, but it doesn't do anything about your salvation, people. They said he spoke against this place. Listen, I've been in churches. I've been to places where they literally, and I've asked them, "What do you worship?" "We worship this building." And they said it with pride, "This building." And I asked them in Moscow, I said, "What happens if the building falls down?" We don't rest day and night, we build it again. Worship the building. Paul wasn't coming against the place. He was simply saying, you can't get saved because you're in this place. But I know in the Russian Orthodox Church, there's those who believe in the structure, literally the building, that God lives inside that building. Our God is too big to live inside of a building. That's why he has to live inside your heart. He's got to go wherever you go. Listen, if Paul's in Jerusalem and these are the things that are happening to him, was he outside of God's will? I don't think so. But why isn't there 10,000 people coming to faith in Jesus? Why aren't they running up to the stage? Listen, just because things aren't going the way you'd like them to go doesn't mean God's not in it. Remember that. Remember it tomorrow. It's Monday, isn't it? Oh God, what was that he said? He's in it. He's with you. Paul was experiencing exactly what Jesus Christ had warned us about, and he warns us today. In Matthew 10:36, Jesus said that a man's enemies will become those of his own house. Isn't that amazing? Man, you get born again, you run home, you tell somebody, and they want to throw you out. Isn't that funny? Jesus said in Matthew 13:57 that a prophet is not without honor. You get honor everywhere you go if you're a prophet. He said, except in your own house. Isn't that something? That's true. It's true in our house. I'll be speaking tonight up at the Calvary Bible College at the chapel. And it's precious. Everyone, you know, they're sitting in there wide-eyed. And well, when I get home, it's, honey, take out the trash. Well, wait a minute. I'm a pastor, you know. I just, honey, can you clean the windows? It's the way it is. It's the way it ought to be. But what he's saying is, in your own home, you're not going to be honored as a believer because why? They know too much about your past, don't they? Oh, listen, this has changed my life. Oh, yeah, right. But boy, if they see a changed life after knowing you so well, it'd be used, no doubt, to bring them around. So it says in verse 29, for they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with them in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple, and all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together and seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Can you imagine this scene? He's a little guy. Paul's a little guy. They estimated he's about either 5 feet or like 4'11". little tiny guy. And they grab this dude and they're dragging him off. Shut the door! Shut the door! They begin to beat on him. It says in verse 31 that as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander. They were seeking to kill him. You know what they're doing? They've got him and they're looking for a place. The word means that they're taking advice about killing. Can you imagine? We got him! We got him! What do we do with him? He's right here in our hands. What do we do? Let me see. You can kill him by hanging him. You can hang him. Stone him. That'd be a good one, but there's no stones in the temple area, so they cleared all the... You could, like, beat him up. And they're taking advice. What do you say? They're seeking. They're taking advice about how to kill the man. Somebody in the crowd yells out, call Jack of Orkian, you know. Dr. Death. The most sophisticated serial killer in the history of America. Isn't that amazing? The guy's, you know, he's out doing this stuff, you know. What a guy. We shouldn't be surprised, though, by this reaction. We need to follow Jesus. And listen, maybe some of you have been rejected. You share Christ and people reject you. Listen, you better understand this right now. They're rejecting Jesus, not you. And I want to say, take it very personal because it's a beautiful thing. But then I also want to say, don't take it so personal. It's Jesus Christ. You know, botanists tell us that there are plants. Now, ladies, you might know this. I think there's a plant called 4 o'clock or something or other. But they're really neat plants. I know this because they follow the sun during the course of the day. And when the sun starts to go down or gets at a certain angle, at around 4 o'clock, they close up and they wait till the next day. And many plants do that. They'll follow the sun. Do you know botanists tell us that a plant, a flower, will follow the sun even on a cloudy day or a stormy day? It will still follow the sun. But it's cloudy between them and the sun. And there are fair-weather Christians that say, as long as it's going good, I'll follow him. But we're to be following him, the sun, even when it's foul weather. Even when things are against us, we should still follow him. Aren't you glad that Jesus' commitment to us is not so fickle and fair-weathered as our commitment to him is? He loves me, loves me not. Loves me, loves me not. Aren't you glad God's not sitting up on a cloud going, I love them not. Love them not. I love that about him. He's a good God. Verse 33, then the commander came and near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. They really thought he was an amazing criminal for two chains. Seriously. It was a sign of a fierce man. And he asked them who he was and what he had done. And some among them, this is the way it always is. Some among them, multitude, cried one thing and some the other. No doubt they contradicted each other. And when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. Look at verse 35. They had to carry the poor man because of the violence of the crowd. This reminds me of Jesus' crucifixion. By the way, it's in the same area. It says in verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed out crying, away with him! That means crucify him. Crucify him. You ever heard those words before? Crucify him. I thought he was your king. He's no king. Crucify him, they said about Jesus. Paul could have heard those same words about Jesus Christ so long ago. Crucify him in the same region, in the same city, quite possibly the same place. This is taking place in Paul's ears. Can you imagine what he might be thinking? Wow, this is what happened to Jesus. I was here. 30-some-odd years ago. I remember this. But they stood away with him. Crucify him. Verse 40 says, so when they had given him permission, that is Paul now stopping the centurion and saying, hey, let me speak to these guys. Paul stood on the stairs and he motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. That blew their mind. Paul begins to speak, obviously fluent in Greek, talks to the centurion, stands up there, speaks in Hebrew. Now, that would have meant a lot to the people who were standing there that were getting ready to kill him because he sounded just like one of them. Now, in chapter 22, we're going to look at three very important things. And the first one is verses 1 through 5 is Paul's past. Regarding Paul's past, God is at work. Look what happens here. Men, brethren, and fathers. That is the traditional Jewish entry into a talk. Men, brethren, fathers, hear my apologia. Hear my apology. It's where we get the word apologetics, argument. You think, and I think, apology is, oh, let me say that I'm sorry. That's not the true meaning of the word. Apologia is, let me give you my argument. Isn't it funny? We say apologize. Now you tell your sister you're sorry.
Sorry.
That's not what apology means. Apology means is to give an argument about why you were doing or why you've done what you've done. Apologia, apologetics is where we get that word. Men, brethren, fathers, let me give you my defense, my apologetics today before you all. And when they had heard this, they spoke, or when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Can you imagine a humongous crowd like this being very silent like that? He says in verse 3, I indeed am a Jew, born in Tarshish of Cilicia. I'm a Jew, but I'm born of Roman citizenship. Very special. And brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. None of you guys could afford the tutoring of Gamaliel, but my father could have, is what he's saying. I come from a rich and wealthy Jewish family, devout. And I was even taught by Gamaliel. In fact, historical writings have shown us that Gamaliel wrote concerning Paul the Apostle that he couldn't keep this man stocked with books when he was a youth. Gamaliel said the greatest problem he had about Paul of Tarsus is that he couldn't find enough books for the man to read. I was brought up by Gamaliel, and everybody would have went, whoa, man, did you hear that? Sheesh. That was impressive stuff. Taught according to the strictness of our father's law. You could hear them all go, amen. The Old Testament, you bet. And was zealous toward God, listen, as you are today. You hear the little, I'm not saying it's a sales pitch. I'm just saying he knows how to talk to people. I was zealous for God, just like all you guys are here today. And they go, all right, this guy's not so bad. What are we going to kill him for? Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, okay. He's got their ear. Why? He wants to give them the gospel. He says in verse 4, I persecuted this way to the death. This way. Christianity was called this way or the way at this point in time. It wasn't until in Antioch when Christians were called Christians. And Christians is an equivalent today to Jesus freak. Seriously. It's a bad word. Christian. Oh, Christians, we're going to start calling you guys Christians. It was a slam. It meant little messiahs. Oh, look at you on your little mission. We're going to start calling you Christians. Well, we used to be called those of the way. The way. And please don't confuse that with the Way International. That's a messed up thing. We are now called Christians. Back then they were called the way. Paul was out killing Christians saying, no way. Jesus said, way. He did. John 14:6, I am the way. The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Paul says, no way. Jesus says, way. I was persecuting these guys. No doubt many of them were standing in the crowd, binding and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. He was an equal opportunity persecutor. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus, to bring in chains even those who were in Jerusalem to be punished. I go, yeah, you know what? I think we can remember that stuff. Paul gives a testimony about his past. If we don't get any further today, this is the most important thing to me right now. Is everybody listening to this? Don't raise your hand. Are you born again? Then you have a testimony. Now, in your mind, you just said, well, it's not as awesome as so-and-so's. You have a testimony. My wife told me a long time ago, she said, you know what, I don't really have a testimony because I accepted Jesus Christ. I was so young. And I had my times of rebellion, but I've always known him. And, you know, I don't have really much of a testimony. I said, yeah, you do. You have a testimony about God's faithfulness to keep you in his hands. You have a testimony that very few people have in the world. And maybe some of you have been a Christian growing up all along the way, and you say, well, gosh, I'm not a redeemed murderer. You know, I don't have a great story. I don't have a testimony to tell people. Oh, yeah, you do. You can say how God kept you in a world gone mad. You have a testimony that I cannot better, nor can the person sitting next to you better. You can sit there and give all the Bible verses that you want when you're witnessing to somebody. But what comes across is what Jesus has done to you personally. How do you walk up? This week we have an opportunity to be in the vicinity. Maybe we'll get to meet Carl Sagan. We're going to be at JPL in Pasadena. Wouldn't it be awesome if the opportunity is provided? You can walk up to Carl Sagan or Bill Clinton. It doesn't matter. And you can walk up there and say, you know what, Jesus is real. Well, I don't believe in him. Well, you know what, he's real because this is what he did in my life. I used to be this, or I was like this, or all my friends went this way and I didn't. And God was this and that and to me, and this is what happened. And you know what? No one's got a word to say back to that. Do you understand that? Well, I don't believe. Well, sir, you can go right ahead and not believe, but I can tell you right now, Jesus has radically changed my life. You have that testimony, people. Oh, I'm not really schooled in evangelism. You've got a testimony. Someday we ought to break this stuff about clocks. And I tell you what, Lord willing, if we get into the new sanctuary, we'll have one service for the first week, we hope. We ought to just dedicate that service and have you guys speak your testimonies about what God has done in your life. It is one of the most powerful things in the world. Well, I don't have anything to say. When do you accept Jesus? 82. Well, what are you doing before that? I don't want to talk about it. You've got a testimony.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called My Life, God's Plan. Thanks for listening. And what can we learn from Paul's situation? God's plan is faithful, but it's not always easy. My Life, God's Plan is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's an event that we'd like you to save the date for. Our very own Pastor Jack is going to be speaking at the annual 2019 Proximity Conference on Awaiting His Return. The conference will be held on January the 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Calvary Church, Santa Ana. That's in Santa Ana, California. And it's hosted by Calvary Chapel of Tustin. Now, Pastor Jack, as you might already know, is not only the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California, but his teachings are heard globally, including Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. His passion and the subject of many of his teachings is on what the Bible has to say about the end times, which is what this conference is all about. And joining Pastor Jack will be his good friend, Amir Safati. Amir was born in Israel, achieved the rank of major in the Israeli Defense Force. He's also one of the best tour guides in that region. Take it from me, I've been with him. And he's a fabulous speaker. Now, in 2001, he became the founder and president of Behold Israel. That's an organization that provides worldwide, real-time access to news and information about Israel from within the powerful context of Bible history and prophecy. So, don't forget to register for this powerful and very informative event on awaiting the Lord's return and, of course, the current events that surround biblical prophecy. It all happens January 5th. You can register online at cctustin.org. That's cctustin.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.